welcome to Marooned at MacBites headquarters, a day
95.
Getting there.
Guess what I'm doing?
Working. Oh, no, you're shopping.
I'm shopping.
He's shopping, bless him.
I'm shopping, yes. Looking for gluten-free bread.
Oh, at Tesco's?
No, at Asda.
Oh no, I was getting excited then about Tesco because they do gluten-free carrot cake. But not if you're ordering from somewhere else. Poor me. Hello, Deb, CQCQ. Hello, Kim. You looked amazing.
You did, Kim.
That was fabulous. Oh, I'm probably going to need all of that equipment when I go out.
Where are you going?
Well, you know, when that day eventually happens, 2023.
I can just see us all at ladies' nights in that kind of gear.
Oh, yes. Mike's had to do his review of the year. It's really weird. You should do it for Marooned. It's really weird.
Not tonight, because I've got to go and get ready.
They've got an early meeting.
I'll do it tomorrow.
But, you know, he's talking about events when we all used to meet up and stuff. It's like, whoa, that's weird. Because that doesn't happen anymore, does it? And me, I have spent a rather annoying 24 hours fighting with my video editors. These are not people, these are software. Although getting a person might not be such a bad idea. Oh, it's been an absolute nightmare.
Multi-seed loaf.
I think we've had one of those before.
Yeah.
Oh, we tried to order that, that's right, but it never arrived.
Oh, right.
They were out of stock. That was from Morrison's. But if it's gluten-free, we'll have it.
Right.
Oh, because we had cheese on toast for dinner.
It was cheese, fab. Cheese.
Which has just reminded him we need cheese. Yes. It was lovely.
What don't we have? What is the whole of the UK out of?
Eggs.
Eggs.
Clearly the chickens are on strike.
Or they've got COVID.
Maybe they've come down. They've come out in support of chicken here. Because Madam's been a naughty girl. Before we get on to the vagaries of my video editing, Madam's been a naughty girl. But in her defence, it is her lady time. So she's hormonal. She's moved the bed again. But this time, there's literally nothing left in the bed, is there? So every time she moves it, Mike's got to vac the floor again. So Mike heads off downstairs and all I hear is, Lola! I thought, oh dear, she's in trouble. Turns out that's what the problem was. Yes, so she's in trouble for that. But she's calmed down a bit now and it's still oppressively warm. We've had rain, but it's still muggy, oppressively yucky. And I think we're probably going to have some more. Because of this, we can't open the windows enough, which means we're then getting over hot on the inside. Add that to my video editing woes and... we've all learnt some new swear words, haven't we? I've actually been looking up swear words. They didn't have any wipes in store. We still haven't got any hand gel. That's 3 months and counting. And considering how many companies have set up producing that, I find that quite surprising. But we can get baby wipes here. I don't know if that... Is that what you're looking for, those kind of wipes? We can get baby wipes. What we've noticed with the baby wipes over the years... When we started buying them, in bulk when Maya arrived. Who knew you needed baby wipes for a puppy? And there was like 150 in the packet and it went down to 120 and then 100 and then 90 and they're now at 72. So 72 in the packet. Disinfecting wipes. I don't know if we've got any of those here. That's a good question, that. Seems as though Mike's putting in an order. I'll have a look. Let's have a look. Asda, do we have disinfecting wipes? Probably not. Disinfecting wipes. Let's have a look. Don't have anything about it. They are selling disposable face coverings at £2.80 for four. That's heckishly expensive. Baby wipes, forgive me. It's a thing with dog owners, isn't it? No, we don't have wipes of any description. What we do have is flash spray, and we buy own brand as well. But baby wipes, the price has just shot up. It's ridiculous. Right. And now they're down to 56 wipes in a packet. Yeah, long for the days, there was a lot more. And 50. So you can get 50 in a packet, £1.50 each. That's exorbitant. Where's their own brand? This is ludicrous. 30 in a packet. They'll be selling them individually next. Little Angel baby wipes. 50 pence for 64. There's an improvement. Or a pound for the proper ones. Huggies, 56. So probably about 3 cents each, something like that. How does that compare? Absolutely ridiculous. £3.50 for a packet. They're just money-making on it. In better news, there is rollback on the Toblerone to £3. So somebody's going to be a happy Toblerone boy. Masks are fairly easy come by. I'm thinking we'd need them on public transport, but we're not actually intending on going anywhere anytime soon. So leave them for other people, I say. 80 in a packet for 50 pence. That's not bad. We just tend to put them in the car, use them for a quick wipe on the desk, but they used to be so much cheaper. You could probably get about 150 for 50 pence. Good evening, Paul. How are you? We're discussing the price of things and the price of things that has gone up. The Toblerone, however, is back to pre-COVID prices. So Mike's a very, very, very happy bunny. Me, less so. Video editing issues. So there I am, working away quite happily in my video editor. Talk about if it could go wrong, it did go wrong with big brass knobs on, was an understatement. I'm literally not sure that Camtasia is ready for prime time. All I've done with it is a few tops and tails, what we call tops and tails, and it's been fine. But I'm finishing off, as you know, tomorrow night in After Hours, the new channel trailer. Don't ask. It's not done too bad, actually, on the timeline. But I decided to stress test it. And I've deliberately left this until the fourth point release of Camtasia 2020. And it is going crazy. It is doing all kinds of weird things. You can't... you can right-click and say update media, but when you do, it doesn't update the media. But the biggest thing by far, and obviously, well, this one was just stupid. On the Windows version, you can choose to work with proxy media in terms of it's external. The media is external to your package file. But on the Mac version, it's not. So you've got this package file. All of the media is in the package file. So I set it up on that machine that I rebuilt with a new hard drive. And I noticed some weirdness. So I thought, OK, gonna have to keep an eye on that. But that's on High Sierra with version 2018. On my main Mac, I'm on Mojave with 2020. So simples, I thought. How far wrong can I go? I thought. Don't ever ask that question. I went into it. And I got all the media in there. It's all on the timeline, right places, no problem. Saved it. It's all inside the package file. I picked up the package file. I dragged it and I dropped it into a new location. I have done that a million times in the last 2 years. No problem. File size stayed the same. And goes into it. All the media's missing. That was catastrophic, considering I'd edited it all night. Speaking of money, I have a question. Sometimes I hear some from the UK referring to pence and sometimes pounds. Is there a difference? Are they interchangeable? Simon, spot on. A pound would be equivalent to one of your dollars and the pence would be equivalent to your cents. And there are 100 pence to the pound. Hello, Jonathan. Simon, naughty, naughty. True, but naughty, naughty. What have you been up to, Jonathan? I have video woes. So this package had all of my media in it, but every piece of media was saying can't find the media. Luckily, I had the foresight and sense not to fiddle. I just closed the file. I pressed undo on the Finder, which put it back where it came from, and I'm editing it there. Also made another copy before I did it. But you can't have that. You cannot have that. I've no idea what's wrong with it. But I was in the middle of a video edit. I have a video almost ready to publish, and I was going to show it to you tomorrow. So I'm just going to have to leave it where it is, not disturb it. Otherwise, it'll get giddy. Oh, Kim, I think I'm now up to a couple of weeks behind you with Grey's Anatomy. Didn't see that one coming. Did not see that one coming. Thought the episode could have done with more of a storyline, but the story that was in it was like, whoa, did not see that one coming. It was the, what's his name? Oh, God, what is his name? it begins with a K. Begins with a K. I'm trying to remember what his first name is. Alex. Didn't see it coming. Loved it. Sad episode, though. Sad episode. Very, very upset for Joe. Let's just say that. Not enough spaceships in Grey's Anatomy for me. Well, you'd be surprised. There was a spaceship in Station 19. That quite threw me as well. It was some kind of rocket thing that was supposed to be based in, like, their technical district. This rocket took off and then crashed into a car park and exploded. So there was actually a spaceship virtually in that one. I do like Grey's. I've only started watching it since... I must have watched the 16, 17 series now. I've watched the whole lot since December 2014. So I'm quite a fan of that because it's on virtually all the time. But it was a good episode. It was a good episode. I was not seeing it coming. And thankfully, I'd managed to not stumble over the story in online because I hadn't gone looking. I'd kind of twigged something must be up and I'd left it alone. And then, of course, we were so far behind the States. But I think we're almost caught up now. Almost. So, yeah, I've not been in a good mood with my video editing, have I?
No.
Very grumpy. So you're stuck with two hormonal women. I don't suppose I could have some water in there, could I? But if not, that's fine. I'll have it later. So what's everybody else's favourite programme? I've just been checking a link of mine to Facebook. So it's me on Facebook. And the only TV programme that I've put a like on, I think I did it because Mum was a huge fan and I wanted to give her any news that was coming that way. But the only TV programme that I put a like on was Bones. And I did used to like Bones. It went a bit weird around one of the series. But I haven't seen the last couple of series. But I did like Bones and I do like NCIS. But we don't see that anymore. Again, it's not on a channel that we can watch it. So I'd have to wait for the box set. House. I watched the first series and a half of House, I think. But then I stopped watching it. I thought it got a bit samey. Billions, I've watched all the series up to the last one. And I didn't realise it had come back on Now TV. And by the time I did, I'd missed the beginning episode. So I'll have to wait for that to come back. got to agree, Simon. They all do that, though, don't they? And it makes me howl laughing every time they do. They've got this blurry picture that's literally got like 3 pixels in it, and all of a sudden, it's super high def. You can read the number plate from 3 miles away. But I enjoyed the books. I actually met the author. She came over, must have been early 2000s, and I think it was her third book, and I'd read the first two. Maybe it was more than that. It was the book where it opened out in an old church graveyard. And she came over to do this book tour and she was going to Waterstones. Waterstones had the amazing logic to take the opportunity to use this church round the corner in St Anne's Square in Manchester. You'll know it, Jonathan. It's near Waterstones. And they hired this place for her to do the reading. And she said it was amazing. It was just the kind of atmosphere you should have had for this. So I think that was... Yeah, they had the books there, hardback ones. So I remember getting the hardback. This must have been way pre-Kindle. It's pre-iPhone as well. And had a chat with her. So I loved the books. That's how come I started watching Bones. The series wasn't quite the same, I'll admit, than the books, to be honest. But it was good. It was good. I liked it. I know a lot of people watched it for David Boreanaz because he was in Buffy. Complete mystery to me. No idea. But I did enjoy it. Right, so Jonathan says, I love it when you realise a series has come out and then you can watch loads in one go. It is annoying when they take them off because they will put them back. But it's a case of when. So Nina recommended to me this series. It was something to do with witches and werewolves. And that wasn't really the kind of thing I would watch. But she said it's really, really good. It's part of a trilogy. You've got to watch it. So I started reading, started watching the first one. And I thought, oh, this is pretty good. And I think the first one was like longer than the other episodes. I put the second one on and I got a message and it said, this leaves tomorrow. I ended up having to binge watch the 8 episodes in a day before they disappeared. I never forgave her for that one. Naughty Nina. Have I read Patricia Cornwell? I have. I started reading that. I stumbled across it many years ago. I'd just finished university, I think. I think it was the summer I left university and I was heading off to College of Law. And I spotted her first book, which was Postmortem, I think. I love the cover and I thought that looks like my kind of book. And I bought that and her second one and I just binge read them. Absolutely loved them. I thought she kind of went off the boil a bit. When she kept killing the same guy and then he kept coming back, you never really believed he was dead. I'm sure that was one of his. So I kind of went off it a bit, I must admit. She also went all a bit weird with that Jack the Ripper thing. Good luck. Thinking of you, won't we, gang?
Thank you.
All your little hair's all flat.
Yeah.
He's walking around with no shirt on. Be grateful you're not here. We don't have video. Jonathan. Let's have a look. I've never heard of that one. Never heard of it. Trey Emmerdale is 67 years. 68 years even. I did used to see Emmerdale. But having said that, Mike's dad was in it, wasn't he?
He was.
So he was in it as a judge. Right, let me see this thing.
And an RSPCA officer.
He was an RSPCA officer as well. He must have got promoted to being a judge. Below Deck.
Right. I'll log into this meeting. I'll not put my video on straight away.
Yes.
Because I'm still half naked.
Do remember to put the shirt on, don't you, before you put your video on. Just saying. Pro tip.
I'll try.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Can't wait.
Right, so this Below Deck, what's this? Chronicles the lives of the crew members who work and reside aboard the mega yacht. Ooh. Nothing wrong with that. You can learn quite a bit from things like that. I have seen odd things like that. Not that one, particularly. Let's have a look. It's been going quite a while, hasn't it? It looks a bit like Love Island. That's the picture. Oh, wow. No, never seen it. Never seen it. Let's have a look. It's good trash. Oh, Jonathan. There is an author that I like. It's not particularly the same genre, forensics. It's more crime and... what would you say? Not exactly spying, but that kind of thing. And the guy who writes it is called Conrad Jones. And he worked at McDonald's. I think he'd worked at McDonald's a long time. And he'd worked up to being the manager of McDonald's. And he was the manager of McDonald's in Warrington when the Warrington bomb happened. And two little boys were killed in the Warrington bomb. And it affected him to the point he started researching terrorism and things like that. And he then decided he was going to write a book. I think his first ones were the Brick series. They were fantastic. He was a natural writing that kind of stuff. And because it was based in the north of England, I knew all the locations and things. But he's prolific. He's written, I think it's 40 novels since then. And I think the Warrington bomb was... When was the Warrington bomb? That's frightening, isn't it? I'd have said late 90s, but I could be wrong. Let's have a look. Two separate bombings in 1993. Yeah, that'd be about right. Oh, God, that's 27 years ago. That's scary. I didn't think they were before the Manchester bomb, but apparently so. So in those years, he's written novel after novel after novel, and I find them all very, very good. He's gone on to a crime series now, the Anglesey series. So like Jonathan says, I mean, it's not great literature. But if you want to be entertained and that's your genre, then he is very, very good. How old is he now? Let's have a look. Spent 12 years working for McDonald's. Doesn't say how many books, but there's a lot. There's a lot. But I find them very good. They are very well researched and they're very well written. He writes them amazingly quickly. He reckons you can write a novel in 3 months, which I find amazing, never having even written one. But if you're into that genre, I'm surprised they've never made it into a TV series, because I think that'd be brilliant. Ah, I'll have to keep that page. It's got all of the different series that he's written. I'm halfway through with the Anglesey Murder on Holy Island at the moment, which was my first one of that, but there's 6 of them apparently. You don't have to think much when you watch it. That's the thing with these books. You don't have to think much. You don't. Although I must admit, I far prefer to be read to. I do like my Audible subscription. I actually listened to a very good one on Audible. Who's heard of Mark Dawson? You might have heard of him. Had a famous father. But Mark Dawson has written a series of books about John Milton. And I must admit, I'd only briefly looked at like half a page. But he'd written this book. This book came up and I liked the write-up on it. So I starts listening to it and I realised everyone was complaining that the plot line was too similar to the White House Farm case, which has been rumbling on in the UK for years. It was a lad who was accused of murdering his entire family. And I would admit this book, yeah, the story plot line did kind of follow that. But the thing that got me was, and no one had mentioned it, I do love the J.K. Rowling series when she's writing as Robert Galbraith with Strike, Cormoran Strike. Love that series. No one had mentioned the similarity between the main character of this book by Mark Dawson and Conrad Strike. And I'm thinking, this is fabulous. It's like reading another Robert Galbraith. No one mentioned a thing. Only problem is, he's only done one of this series, but he's done like 15 of the John Milton series. So I think, right, well, I enjoyed that one enough. I'll go off and I'll listen to the John Milton one. I think I've made a mistake. Not that there's anything wrong with them per se, but it just shows you they're all numbered on Audible. And one of them is 0.5 and another is 0.6. And these were prequels that were written after the first book. Well, obviously, if you're starting from scratch, you think to yourself, well, I'll start with 0.5. You're not going to start a series in the middle. That way madness lies, like the X-Files when they killed the dog and then it came back to life. So I listened to this 0.5 and at the end of it, I thought, what was the point of that? It was too short to have much of a storyline. And it was very much written for blokes. It was very much, let's blow things up and shoot things without much of a plot line. But I thought, keep with it, you know, let's get on to 0.6 and listen to that. They were about 2 hours 50, something like that. So I listened to the second one and at the end of it, I thought that wasn't much better than the first one. And I'm thinking, why bother to write something like that? Anyway, I thought, am I going to put those on one side? So I never made it to number one. Started listening to another one that I'd half listened to a couple of months back. I've got no idea what's going on with the plot, so I'm going to have to start that one again. So I couldn't be bothered going back to the beginning of it, to be honest. So I decided I would listen to this John Milton one, number one. Much improved. I don't know why they feel the need to do prequels that don't make sense unless you've read the first book, because you've got no idea about the character. The character at that stage is just a name. So that's where I'm at the moment with that. So, Kim's watching Alone, a reality series on history. 10 people dropped off by themselves in the Arctic trying to survive for 100 days. Oh, we've all been trying to survive for 100 days. When do we get our million? Because we've all... In 5 days, it'll be marooned 100. Are we all getting £1 million then? Oh, yes, I think that's a jolly good idea. Jonathan, I'll leave you in charge of that. I can only imagine, because it's freezing up there, isn't it? That might come over here eventually, you never know. I will have a look on Now TV. Have you got Now TV, Jonathan? I've still got my missile up there. Let's have a look at Now TV. And let's do a search. Arctic Alone, is that the one? We've got, good grief, how many series have there been? 2 seasons, 23 episodes, The Boldest Survival Experiment. We've got season 5 and season 6. We do not have season 1. But Jonathan, it's on there if you're interested. Hello, Mrs. Simon, how are you doing? What channel's it on? That's a good point, isn't it? It's on Sky History. Do I get Sky? Oh, I must get Sky History. Yes, it's on Sky History. Currently reading books about race for my book club and one written by some CIA operatives about how to tell if someone is lying. Kim, pro tip, with a politician, if their lips are moving, they're lying. Which takes us back to our politicians, doesn't it? Today we have, what's his name? Hancock. By name and nature, I'm afraid. He's upset the Black Lives Matter movement. Why do politicians open their mouths? Life would be far simpler if they just kept dumb. Instead of which, they get dragged in for interviews and asked relatively straightforward questions and start babbling on about Game of Thrones. And you're just sitting there thinking, get this one off. There should be a virtual shepherd hook or a buzzer. Isn't that what's on Britain's Got Talent? You can buzz them off. Because I would just have that buzzing all day, every day. I've got a Staples buzzer that says that's easy. Maybe I could get rid of them. Ooh, gin and tonic. Good call. How's the weather where you are? It's very weird up here. Very, very weird. It's horribly hot and oppressive. And it's really dark. It feels like October. I would say politicians just stick to what they know, but that might be a short conversation. The thing is, with politicians and what they know, they don't actually know much. Many years ago, politicians used to be politicians as like a second career. So they did something else first. And that placed them in a much better place to understand things. When this COVID lockdown started, the Archbishop of Canterbury came on. And I always have a vision of the Archbishop of Canterbury as obviously being, in fact, most clergy, that it's a lifetime calling. Now, one of our priests didn't enter the priesthood until he was nearly 30. And he worked for the government, the Inland Revenue. So he had a complete understanding of finance and poverty. Loads of stuff before he became a priest. When he became a priest, he became a missionary priest and he went out to... Oh, the Philippines. And he speaks all the languages over there. So they're not like, they don't live in a bubble, basically, like politicians do. But these politicians are going to university now to read politics. PPE, politics, philosophy and economics. And they're coming out and they have no idea how the world works. And the next minute, they're a politician and they're representing us. So they don't actually know much. And then when they get put, I mean, wasn't Liam Fox, isn't he Liam Fox, a conservative? He was a doctor. I'm not sure if he's not still a doctor. Why don't we put him in charge of health? Just an idea. Instead of which, we've got an idiot in charge of health who doesn't know one end of a band-aid from the other. And then keeps making mistakes about it. Well, today he started, and I, you know, you can see it coming, and it's so depressing. this is how it happens. You open your eyes and you listen to the radio and it'll say, and this morning, XYZ is being interviewed. And you think, oh, no. Yeah, it's a politician. Matt Hancock. How are they going to trip him up? Health secretary. COVID thing, sort of, you know, they've pretty much tripped him up on everything with that to start with. What's in the news at the minute? Oh, the Black Lives Matter campaign. That's what they'll trip him up with. 10 minutes later, news on the hour. Matt Hancock, Black Lives Matter. And off it kicks. And it's kicked off all day about it. Liam Fox is a shady character. Simon, name me a politician who's not a shady character. There's actually only one or two spring to mind. One that she's a bit... Gobby's the word I'm looking for. Jess Phillips. She does seem to say it as it is. But most of the others, they're all as bad as one another. She does seem to say it as it is. But the thing is, she says it quite a lot. And I must admit, you kind of turn off in the end. Professional politicians is why we need term limits for every seat. That would actually work. That would actually work brilliantly well. They should have to pass it around. But we've got some politicians who've literally been in the House of Commons for 70 years. Most of them, they try and palm them off on the Lords. They basically get promoted so they can't do any harm. But then all they do there is they have to turn up at Parliament in the morning, sign a book, and I think they get something like £500 in expenses. So they turn up, sign the book, and then go home. After that, let's... 2 5-year terms is plenty. 2 5-year terms is more than enough. Thing is, then you'd have no continuity, but we haven't got continuity at the moment anyway. It'd be nice if somebody came in, did some good and was allowed to stay. I get the impression from the States, I could be wrong, but once Obama started talking again, which he didn't do for a lot of the COVID stuff, that people, I started seeing things on social media that was like, when are you coming back? And obviously he's had his two terms and he's not. I wondered why she didn't stand. Because I think she'd get in a heartbeat, which would really upset Hillary Clinton, wouldn't it? I wonder if that would ever happen. We'll have to see. She says she's not doing it, but I think she's just waiting for Trump to disappear. Term limits create other issues like trading seats. Oh, Paul, you're right. You know, we don't have that, so we don't even think of it. But I can imagine it, that it's all stitched up. They're all as bad as one another. They are. It's just depressing. It's terminally depressing, politics. You wouldn't mind if there were any that were in it for the right reasons. But the ones who make the noises about being in it for the right reasons, to be honest, they're probably not. They're just better at lying than the others. I mean, seriously. Some of the Tories, they could lie straight in bed. But the lies are so blatant, you just kind of ignore it. It's terrible. It's absolutely appalling. People paying for their retirement like Trump and Obama can't pay for their own retirements. I did hear somewhere. Now, it was to do with, I'm trying to think back now. Somebody who had been in one of your houses, I don't know which one. Probably the elected one, something like 56 years, and was literally saying it's time we did X, Y, and Z. And the person who was complaining about this had pointed out that this person had been in government for over 50 years and they hadn't done it up to now. So why the rush all of a sudden? And when you see things like that, you do realise, don't you, what exactly have you been doing? I don't think there's a good answer with all of this. I really don't. I can't think of one, put it like that, apart from me running the country. Me and the MacBiters. You could be in the cabinet. That'd be fabulous. We'd only need to work one day a week. See, Boris has been quiet again today. And how many, what's the figures today? We usually get the figures every day. All we're getting at the moment in the UK is that Vera Lynn's died. Vera Lynn was the Force's sweetheart. She was 103, which is amazing. And she died overnight, I do believe, or yesterday. We'll have to play a song. We'll have to play a song on Saturday. It's become a tradition we do that, so we'll have to play a song. But that is literally all over the news. What I am not seeing anywhere there is today's figures. Did we not bother today? 103. It is a good age. I remember her 100th 3 years ago. She actually came on the stage, I think, with an old soldier who was about 112. She also had, wasn't she the oldest person to have a number one? But I'm not sure if Captain Tom's got that now. But it was interesting when the Queen did that speech at the beginning of the lockdown, that the one in the green dress that we all made over, that one, that she actually quoted Vera Lynn in her one of her more famous songs, which is We'll Meet Again. And she actually mentioned that. So it was very sad because it came out of nowhere. No one had said that she'd been ill or whatever. It just came out of nowhere. Oh, Jonathan, talking of COVID, where's Nanny Isaacs getting her meat from? Because have you seen this about Marks and Spencer's? 96 staff who work at two different companies supplying food to hospital shops and restaurants. I believe this is in Wales. It's a company called Brooks. Have got COVID and they're now being sent home. So it's Wrexham in Wales, which isn't that far away. Anglesey and Wrexham. Anglesey's about 80 miles from here. But they are supplying Marks and Spencer's, KFC, Aldi, Asda, Co-op, Morrison's, Sainsbury's, Tesco's and Waitrose. Just saying. Delivered from a kosher butcher in North Manchester. I think she's covered then. That might not be a bad idea. We could all do that. It's shocking though, isn't it? And when you see how many companies one company is supplying, who does that leave that's not taking their food? Asda, Morrison's, Tesco as well. Asda, Morrison's, Sainsbury's, Tesco and Waitrose. That's pretty much all of our supermarkets. Meat delivered by the foxes. Yeah, I'm delivered from a kosher butcher. I'm liking that. I'm moving towards that. Or pretty much doing away with it. And you know what? This company is owned. There's a whole raft of companies involved in all this debacle. And they're also setting up another site now in Holyhead. I notice they're all on the coast. Anyway, it says the company owned by Oscar Mayer Quality Foods. How dare they have my boy's name in their name? Not happy with that at all. None of the staff were seriously ill. None had been hospitalised. But obviously they're all riddled with COVID, just saying. But in light of the outbreak of the number of COVID cases, we're doing the right things and temporarily suspending production. Puts you off eating anything. Aldi get the same meat as Waitrose. They absolutely do, Jonathan. It's just different packaging. Which is why a lot of the Catenians, it's so funny. If they see you in Aldi, and you know, obviously they would see you in Aldi because they are in Aldi. Yeah. Oh, I'm only here to look at the tools. I wouldn't dream of buying the food. And then their other half comes up with a shopping trolley packed with food. It's hysterical. It's the same stuff. It is. You can tell that by looking at it. So, no, I wouldn't bother. We've got a Waitrose. Waitrose is actually opposite Bramley Farm, which is down Cinderland Road in Altrincham, Jonathan. There is an Aldi Waitrose there. I think that's probably the only one we have near us. And, you know, we've been in. It does look very nice, but everything is hugely expensive and it's the same stuff. So just get it from Aldi and be done. The weird thing with Aldi is they're vegetables. There's no sell-by date on them. I mean, we've always been incredibly lucky. The only thing we used to get, and again, the same thing happened. It was a company and they were producing, not couscous. Was it couscous? Oh, what's it called? We were using it as like a side dressing for salad. It'll come to me what it was called. It's like couscous in a pot. And it was infected with E. coli. So Mike said, I'm getting rid of all this out the fridge just in case. So I said, fair enough. That disappeared. And we didn't replace it, but one of our good friends, when we met up with them a good few months ago now, which would be around Christmas, had said that he had had E. coli. He'd lost 2.5 stone. He'd been that ill with it. So it was a good job we got rid of it. Thing is, we haven't been able to have it since, and it's all these companies. Waitrose is a supermarket. It's not particularly organic. It's just very upmarket, as Jonathan says. So the price of their food is probably a good 20% more than any other store. But it is just really a supermarket. It started off down south, so you would only really originally get Waitrose south of Watford. I remember when the first one came up here, and my mum was like, can we go and have a look at it? But it's just expensive. The stuff is the same stuff, as you discover when you find out they're all being supplied from the same place. What I didn't see coming was that they supply KFC, because I would have thought the production lines were geared to producing meat in packets that was then branded for the supermarkets. I wouldn't have seen that being sent to KFC, but clearly they're supplying KFC as well, so it's ridiculous. Pretty much all our supermarkets have an organic range, and the difference is mainly the price. Sometimes the organic stuff, like organic soup, is in like a carton, which is recyclable, whereas the cheaper stuff would be in a plastic container. That's one of the difference with the organics. But other than that, I guess it's just the fact it is organic. KFC like Kentucky Fried. Yes, yes. One and the same, Kim. It just seems really strange that somewhere that's geared up to producing packaged meat would be supplying KFC. It would be like them selling burgers to McDonald's. That's how weird it would be, and that's what's happening. But I'm looking at the names of supermarkets, and there's only one that isn't listed, which makes me wonder where they're getting their stuff from. Which one's missing, Jonathan? It's Marks and Spencer's, Aldi, Asda, Co-op, Morrison's, Sainsbury's, Tesco's and Waitrose. Which is the one that's missing? Quite surprisingly, to be honest, I would have thought if they were supplying Aldi, they would be supplying this other one. Anybody else in the UK got any idea which one's missing from there? Lidl! Exactly! Where's Lidl getting it from? That's the only one. Oh, the Spa. Good thinking. But aren't they owned by Co-op? I think the Co-op bought the Spa. They certainly did up here. Our Spa got converted into a co-op. Before that, it was a Morrison's, and before that, it was an independent. It was independent. But I think the co-op bought out the Spa. I wonder where Lidl are getting their stuff. Now, Lidl do very nice gluten-free stuff. They also have an organic range. So pretty much every shop you think of in the UK has got something in the way of organic. Most of them have a kosher range. And you usually find the gluten-free next to the kosher. Doesn't work well for the matzah, but never mind. If you took the gluten out of the matzah, it'd be a glass of water. That's what Mike and I were always laughing about that. Now, I used to have a boss who, when it came to Pesach, would be eating his matzah. He never stopped eating matzah. You'd open a binder of a file that he'd been working on, and it would be full of matzah crumbs. You wouldn't have anything with it, just dry matzah. But it was all over the office. Lidl's fab. The crazy aisle in the middle. Oh, yes, the middle of Lidl. You never know what Simon's going to bring home next. That's the thing. It's all things that you never knew you needed. But then you realise that you need that 99-piece socket set. You never know when that might come in handy. By which point, you'll have totally forgotten where you put it. That's what usually happens to me anyway. I was known to buy, now I'm going to blame Simon for this, a set of like Allen keys. So they're all different sizes. And I said that would be coming really handy for undoing computers, which was fine. And then I got a Mac. And then you'd need a chisel. But I've still got this thing. Oh, Jonathan, that takes the biscuit. Jonathan, you live in a flat. What are you going to do with a wheelbarrow? I guess you could move the washing with it. You know, let's think of things that Jonathan could do with his wheelbarrow. Yeah, they're very tempting with that aisle in the middle, I must admit. And if Simon needs any more tempting, in the app, the Aldi app and the Lidl app, they actually show you what's coming up in upcoming weeks as well. So if you go to the Aldi app and there's a special buys section, it actually lists them with what's on sale now and what's up for pre-order and what you can get. So coming up for pre-order is pet stuff, including a medium soft pet bed. I know a dog who's in need of one of those because she's eaten the other one. Don't tell Mike, he'll go potty. There's also some toys, though. But the thing with that is it would actually necessitate going, wouldn't it? And I'm not leaving the house. Not happening. But there's a whole range of stuff for dogs. What's on sale at the moment? It's outdoor lighting and travel next week, Simon. But of course, the Father's Day stuff's available right now. It's too tempting, that. I've had to leave that alone. How does the Aldi pet food go down? She's never had that, only because when she used to come and stay, her first family would give us like a carrier bag with some food in, and it was always Pedigree. And Sammy's get very, I mean, most dogs probably do, but Sammy's in particular can get a very upset stomach if you change their diet too quickly. So if you were about to try and change over to some other pet food, you'd need to do it gradually over a period of time. Put like 10% of the new one in, and then 20%, and then 30%, and gradually change it. So we've never actually tried her with the actual food, but she's had treats from Aldi and they go down very nicely. All treats are always a good idea, no matter where they're from. Maya was a menace. We got some Christmas treats for Maya and they were in a stocking. And they were, I'm not sure what they're actually made of, some kind of grain of some description that's glued together. And they make them in lots of different shapes. So usually they're like bone shapes or circle shapes that they can gnaw on. But at Christmas, they do Christmas ones. And they make these things, usually the natural colour, which is like an off-white, semi-brown colour, like a goldenish colour. But because it's Christmas, they do them green and red, yellow, you name it. So there's some that are Christmas trees and they're green. And there's a Santa one and that's red. There's a Christmas tree with balls on. So the balls would be yellow and red. So Maya loved these things. I think he liked the fact they were all different shapes. They were different to, you know, for him to manipulate and eat them, because he would hold them with his two front paws. He'd lie down, have it propped up with his two front paws and start gnawing on it. And I think he liked the fact they were all different shapes. So we'd say, like, do you want a Christmas tree or do you want a cracker? And he'd pick which one he wanted. So this particular day it was, which one do you want? And he picked the Christmas tree, which was, as the name implies, shape of Christmas tree, lots of sticky out bits, little red bits in it, but mainly it was green. So he eats this thing. Then we goes to the park. So this was like the next day. And we're talking to this lady, known this lady years, and she had her dog with her. And we're talking. Maya did not like that, because that was valuable trot time wasted, as far as he was concerned. If you stopped to talk, no, that wasn't acceptable. So he'd usually go crazy. This particular day, he decided to voice his displeasure by relieving himself. So he squats down to poo and pooed. And it was bright green with red bits in it. She nearly had a heart attack on the spot. Mike and I just looked at each other and went, Christmas tree. Yep. She was absolutely, oh, you need to get him to a vet. And we're like, no. He's had some treats at Christmas and they were green and they had red balls on them. Yeah, we decided he needed to be moved away if he felt the need to relieve himself in the future. It was too much for people. People should not judge your dog by the colour of the poo, but some reason they do. I wouldn't dream of commenting myself, but you know what people are like. That was a good one, that. She didn't speak to us for a fortnight. I think she thought we were killing the dog. But that was Maya for you. He just happened to like the green ones. We've not tried Lola with stuff like that yet. She's got Jumbones. She's got rodeo sticks. She likes the rodeo sticks. The rodeo sticks are quite weird. they're like, I'm not sure what they're made of. They're very rubbery, though. And they're like plaited. So it's nice. It must be nice for them to chew. Oh, yes, Gillian McKeith. Oh, she'd have had a fit. She would have had a fit. Did you see that picture, Jonathan? A comparison. Because she went in the jungle, didn't she? And who was the other one? Nigella Lawson. Nigella Lawson. Let's have a look. Oh, I thought it was one of these. Yeah, this was from a good few years ago. Nigella Lawson would be cooking with full fat cream and butter, you name it. The other one was absolutely barking mad. In terms of, you've got to eat this vegetable and this lentil and all kinds of stuff. So Nigella Lawson was probably stone and a half overweight, maybe something like that. But hang on, isn't she known for desserts? Yeah, she would ladle cream on, chocolate, butter, not a problem. But this thing was doing the rounds a couple of years ago. I'm trying to find a copy of it. Yeah, there's a couple of them here, very similar. But they were taken probably about 5 years ago, these pictures. Right, I'll get the first one up and then I'll get the second one up. Let's get Droppler going. No, not Droppler. Yes, Droppler. Come on, Droppler. It just makes me smile because she was so holier than thou, Gillian McKeith. And when she went in the jungle, she was smuggling stuff in her knickers. It was ridiculous. So that's the first one. And this one's the second one. But they do make me smile because everyone was the same. She's a TV chef, Nigella. She eats meat, butter, chocolate and desserts, all washed down with copious amounts of wine. The other one's like all organic and detoxy and stuff. The husband's favourite chef. Oh, yes, definitely, Jonathan. Definitely. I'm actually looking at some of these. Let's have a look. She just had a nice way with her, didn't she, Nigella? She was always upbeat. But Gillian McKeith was very, what's the word? Judgmental. Judgmental. Let's say that. Didn't she have... yeah, there's another one here as well. They are the same age. According to this one, they're the same age. But those were two that just made me smile. Because she always did look... She was just far too judgmental and she also looked ill. But then not everybody wants to eat lentils. I certainly don't want to eat lentils. In fact, tonight I had cheese on toast. It was all your fault, you lot. We talked about toast on Saturday. We carried on Monday and Tuesday. It was like, Mike, I'm going to have toast. But I did say I would have cheese on toast. Still fancying an egg, but don't know if you're aware, Jonathan, nationwide shortage of eggs. Not one supermarket has eggs in. It was really nice, Jonathan. He did a good job, did Mike. I think the cheese was cathedral. Oh, it was nice. Because I'm quite fussy with cheese. I don't have any blue cheese or anything like that. I actually like if I'm having cheese on a gluten-free biscuit to be like a crumbly cheese, but with something like berries in it. You can get cranberry cheese. That's really nice. But obviously it doesn't toast well. But this cathedral cheese that Mike had bought, actually really nice. Really nice. Liking that. So that's what he did today. And it was beautiful. But what he did do was, because he's so funny, he brings it in and he says, if it doesn't stay hot enough, I'll have that and then I'll make you another one. Oh, isn't he sweet? Because the thing is, you know, that can go cold really quickly while you're eating the first one. But no, it didn't. It was fantastic. So I can highly recommend cathedral cheese. I don't know if that's something you have in the States? Some of it can be pre-sliced. Cathedral cheese. Let's have a look if it's a thing or not. Cathedral City Mature. So I'm guessing it was cheddar. No, it wasn't spreadable. But it looks like it's a thing. We make life easier whilst we stay at home, cathedral cheeses. Oh, there's recipes on this site. I bet they've not got one that's as nice as Mike's, though. Oh, they do have ham and cheese French toast. This might have to... They're doing cheesy biscuits as well. Cheese and paprika muffins. There's something wrong with that. Say hello to Mummy and Daddy Isaacs. See you tomorrow. They're doing cheesy crisps, cherry tomato and basil pizza, but I'm quite interested in the cheesy fish pie myself. But that one looks quite nice. I would never have thought of doing that. So I might have to put Mike onto that recipe. But I can highly recommend that cheese. It was very nice. And obviously, it was the TLC with which it was cooked. We don't do stuff like all of that, though, with mustards and hams and olive oil and baking trays and all that kind of malarkey. If it goes in the oven, fine. If it doesn't, then it doesn't get cooked. That's the approach we take. Having said that, we do have hobs. So if it went in a pan, I guess we could cook it. But we don't particularly cook something like that. Cheese and paprika muffins. I would not have put that together. I've never even heard of anything like it. Let's have a look at them. They do look nice. But they've got self-raising flour, so that won't work for me. There's the recipe. I would just never have thought of putting cheese and paprika into a cupcake or a muffin. That could actually go nicely with a meal, maybe. It's got streaky bacon, chopped, cooked and cooled, and Cathedral City Mature in it with a lot of other stuff. Unfortunately, egg. And we have no eggs. Not an egg to be had. But never mind, we'll just eat the other stuff. But yeah, it would be the self-raising flour that would be the problem with that. There's quite a bit of paprika in it, though. That must have quite a kick to it. I certainly wouldn't eat that as a muffin on its own. A muffin has to be sweet, not with paprika in. Imagine, that makes 12 of them, doesn't it? Yeah, well, but for the egg and the self-raising flour, we might be able to give that a go. I shall keep it on one side. But I did fancy the fish pie, which was the next one. Cheesy fish pie. Because Lola would like that as well. Now tell me they're not putting anything powdery in there. Salmon, yep, that's okay. Skim milk, okay. Oh, this pastry. What they made that with? Broccoli, prawns, dill, parsley, butter. Oh, there you go, flour. Can't they make anything without flour? And they've got ready-rolled puff pastry, which doesn't work. I wonder if you could make the top of it, instead of doing it as puff pastry, if you could do it with bread, because that way you could do it with gluten-free bread. If you soaked the bread in the egg and then fried it, that might work. Either that or I'd kill myself, one or the other. You got 18 eggs! I just don't understand what's happened to egg production. Can I use almond flour? I can use... If it's got no gluten in it, I should be okay. So almond flour, probably. Hello, Tracy. And rice flour. I'm okay with rice flour and potato flour. But the issue with other flours like that is, to make something like puff pastry, it's the stuff you put with it, and then that doesn't react the same way as it would with normal flour. So it's all a bit tricky. I need to find the notes Mum left behind for me, because she made it her life's work to create recipes that were equally as good as standard flour, but most of the time better. She made a cottage loaf once. Oh my, it was fabulous. And it had celery in it. It was made from celery. You wouldn't believe it, but it tasted fantastic. So I've got to find that. Can you substitute it and add baking powder? I think I have had spelt flour, possibly. But I actually have to be quite careful of anything that's a powdery consistency. Now, Mike isn't anywhere near as bad as me. So anything that's gluten-free, he can eat. I would have to be very careful as to how much I eat. And he can even manage a couple of pieces of toast that aren't gluten-free. But more than that, and then he would be as ill as I am. But I'm hypersensitive to it. Hypersensitive. So even if I'm... My dad always had standard loaves of bread, and once Mum was ill, I'll sort Dad's dinner out. I'd have to wear rubber gloves just to butter the bread. So I have to be really careful with it, which is why it annoys me. When you put something in, when you put an order in, and you say no croutons, no bread, and then they bring it to you and there's bread on it. And then when I said I didn't want bread or I didn't want croutons, they just stand there and take it off. I didn't want it there in the first place. It wasn't, you know, I could take it off myself. It's the fact, you know, now it's touched the rest of the food. Some people are as hypoallergenic to that as people are to nuts. And you know what people are like with nuts. You know, when you've got somebody on a plane, no one else can even eat the nuts. So I wouldn't say I was that bad, but last October, we went up to York, wasn't it, last October? And they served this salad, and there was croutons in it. So I quietly said to... Now, this was because Nina and Mike had organised it, Nina and Chidge, and I didn't want her upset on the night. We'd already had a stand-up set to with somebody who didn't like where they were sat. So I'd sorted that out, avoid any further grief with it. So I just quietly said to this server, mine was without croutons, so they took it away. Came back, obviously with a salad, you can't particularly tell whether they just took the croutons off or whatever, so I started eating it. I gets down to the bottom of it and there was croutons in it. So they'd obviously just fished them out of the top and left this crouton at the bottom. Well, I'm not actually at the stage where I'd need to have an EpiPen, but not far off it. And I thought, that's disgusting. You know, when you, because it was their year as provincial president and it was our year as president. And we had had people say, I'm allergic to this or I can't eat that. And I remember having a conversation with the maitre d' of the biggest event of the year. And he was saying, I notice you've got somebody with a nut allergy. I'm just trying to be careful with it. And I said, that's a really serious nut allergy as well. I said, so I've put them on this table. I've put them here at one end of it so you can quickly get in and out to them. And it's nearer to the kitchen. And I've also made their place card a different colour. And he was like, wow, yeah, no problem. And they made sure, you know, that everything was served completely separately. But this other place thought it was good enough to just, you know, whip them off the top. And there they were left at the bottom. So when the server came back, I put my hand over my plate until I got the one that I wanted, who was more senior than the others. And I quietly had a whisper in their ear. Oh, my, it was a totally different kettle of fish the next night. They'd actually gone out and got gluten-free everything. All I wanted, you know... Just don't put croutons on it. I don't particularly go into any event that either we organise or anybody else organises with a list of demands, because I find that incredibly rude. You know, we have people saying to us, I can't eat this and I don't want that. So we offered four desserts and we got three people saying, I don't want any of them, I want something else. And I thought, really? Four desserts? And we'd put in like an ice cream one where you could choose your flavour of ice cream. And there were three other solid desserts. Some were gluten-free automatically. Some were low sugar. And they didn't want any of them. I thought that was downright rude. So I don't do that. I just say, like, when the bread rolls come round, I won't have one. I just pass them on. I don't demand a gluten-free bread roll. But as you know, when we went to Alverston, our server, Serge, oh, you don't want toast. You don't want toast. And I said, no, I'm gluten-free. I get you gluten-free toast. And off he goes. And I'm like, I didn't know they did gluten-free toast, because I wouldn't think to ask. It's my problem. It's not anybody else's problem. I don't want them put out when they're trying to cater for 1,000 people at breakfast in an hour and a half. But they were fantastic. But this hotel, not great, until I mentioned that there were croutons in this salad, at which point I got a hermetically sealed roll the next night, and everything that came through was totally separate. And I thought, well, you know, if you'd have just listened to what I said, which was no croutons, you wouldn't have had to have gone to all this trouble. I wouldn't have bothered. People who don't have allergies don't understand what it's like to be really allergic. They don't, to be honest. And I understand that, and I wouldn't put that burden on them. So I wouldn't say to, of all the Catinian do's we ever go to, what we will do, the only place that we do have to let know, is we go to a little restaurant called The Vinery, and it's Italian. And we're fine with the chicken that they do and the antipasti they do and the steak that they do. But we're not fine if it's cannelloni. So we ring them ourselves. They say, hi, it's us again, you know, and what we do is, whatever the main part is, that'll be cannelloni or spaghetti, whatever that main bit is, we'll just ask for a chicken salad. And the thing is, they will have chicken salad available to people who just want the salad anyway. So we don't make it difficult. And, you know, you'll even say to them, and I have done, you know, if you've got no chicken, don't worry. And she's like, oh, we've always got chicken. Don't worry about it. But, you know, they could put steak out. What else have they done for us over the years? Loads of different stuff. But that's the only place that we ring. And it's only really because they even put it together separately. Because obviously Italian's about as bad as you can get for a gluten allergy. But they always are fantastic with us. But, you know, I don't bother other places. And if it's like you look at the desserts and you think, can't eat any of that, I'll just take my own. We have actually gone places where I've taken a Tupperware box with fruit in it or cheese and biscuits. And we do get some strange looks. We went to one, and this place is usually good. But this particular time, the food was appalling. It was terrible. And I'd fallen for their desserts before. I will always ask for a fresh fruit salad. Fresh fruit salad, what does that mean to anybody? Because to me it means not swimming in orange juice. That dessert, when they say fresh fruit salad and that turns up, no, that's not fresh fruit salad. That's orange juice with a piece of apple swimming in it. It's not fresh fruit salad. Fresh fruit salad has nothing with it. Well, we tried explaining this concept to them about 9 times and we'd got nowhere. So I said to Mike, just ask them for a bowl when we get there. So we're waiting for the dessert to come through, and there's this lady opposite, and she sees me with this Tupperware container, and I'm waiting for an empty bowl. And she was really snooty, and she was like, well, what have you brought that for? I've asked for a fresh fruit salad. And I said, good luck with that. I ordered that last time. So my bowl turned up, and I put my beautiful dessert into it, which was raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries. It was fabulous. Kiwis, bananas. It was wonderful. Hers turned up. It was a massive bowl of orange juice with 3 pieces of apple floating in it. She went mental. She actually poured all of the juice out and it filled the water glass. And then tried to proceed to eat the rest of it, and it was vile. Yeah, like I said, it was. So Anthony had a drink from a water bottle that your father had just used to take a penicillin. Your lips started tingling just from that contact. That happens to me. I'm allergic to penicillin as well. And when Mayer was given antibiotics, I said to the vet, these are penicillin, aren't they? He said, yes. I said, are they coated? And he said, no. So I said, because I'm allergic to them. I said, I'm allergic to penicillin. Seriously allergic. I was only a baby, about 3 months, but I nearly died with it. So he said, don't touch them. You know, can somebody else give the dog? Well, no one else would get anywhere near Mayo with a pill. No way. So I said, it's all right, I'll wear gloves. And I used to have to give them to him wearing gloves. So when my dad was ill and he was on penicillin, same business. So I'm there gloved up with it. Just the way it is, you just get used to it. So Deb can't eat cheese, but it's a difficult time eating out because when you order and say without cheese, you repeat at least 3 times and they bring it with cheese. Do you know, cheese, I don't know what it is with cheese or bread, but people seem to just look at you vacantly. The bread thing, I can't tell you the number of times we've said no bread with a breakfast. They'll serve bread and butter with breakfast and we'll say no bread. Would you like toast instead? There seems to be some mismatch in the UK, intelligence-wise, that bread and toast are two totally different things. Oh, the faces when you say, no, that's bread that's cooked. Oh, right. But the cheese one, we've got a friend who's severely allergic to cheese. So when we booked for this President's Sunday, which is one of the big events of the year, she said she'd ordered, it was salmon. So the starter was a salmon with a side salad. It turned up and we looked at it and I thought, what's the white stuff? And she looked at it and looked at me and I said, is that cheese? She said, I hope not, because I ordered this because everything else was cheese. So all of the starters were either cubes of cheese or whatever cheese. So I looked at it and I said, I'll try it for you. Because I'm okay with cheese. Cheese is something I'm actually okay with. And I said, but where's the salmon? So I got the knife and fork and I started pulling this white stuff apart. I think they'd basically wafted a piece of salmon over the cheese. So there was the tiniest fragment of salmon and the rest of it was cheese. And not only was it cheese, but it was that cheap, spreadable cheese. In the UK, it would be called something like Philadelphia. But it's a spreadable cheese. So all they'd done was put a spoon in and basically put a dollop of that on the plate. Wafted the salmon at it and called it salmon. And she said, I can't eat that. And I said, well, there isn't even any salmon that, you know, I could take off mine and give you. There's nothing there. It's cheese. So she just didn't have a starter. It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. They really should be up to that these days. That's why we like going to the place that we went for Ladies' Night, which is called the Cresta Court. And it's on the main road. They will offer you four desserts. You know, we always ask for a plain ice cream for one. I can't remember. We had an apple pie was one. Ice cream was another. One would have been a fruit salad. And there was something else. And there were three people who didn't want any of them. I'm going to ask for something else. But they only wanted to give us two alternatives for dessert. We'd already agreed four. And I thought that was completely unnecessary. Now, luckily, if you remember, back to November, it was Ellen's birthday. And I'd taken a cake. It was a chocolate cake. And it was covered in green ice cream. And I decorated it so there was a big carrot on it and lots of little carrots around it. And just to be on the safe side, given how many people were there, I'd ordered two of these cakes. So when these three people were saying, yeah, don't want that, I said to Mike, get three empty bowls off the maitre d'. So he comes in, like, what are you doing with the empty bowls? I said, don't worry about it. I disappeared behind the curtain where the DJing was going on. And I took three pieces off this chocolate cake. I'd ascertained at first that, you know, all three were happy with chocolate cake. Put the chocolate cake in there. And then went round serving it. But I was literally covering it up with a sheet to get it round the room because obviously it looked like I was serving it. And I just said, can you keep it covered up? Because we've already got four desserts. And then everyone was happy with that. But honestly, organising stuff is an absolute nightmare. Cheese and salmon were always ruining a salmon dinner. It was disgusting. We couldn't believe it. But the thing was, it was a caterer. Instead of choosing a venue which had their own catering, it was a venue where they got a caterer in. So it was contract catering. And obviously the money in contract catering is keeping the price down because they're not making any money from the hiring of the venue. So they turned up with this Philadelphia as a starter. It was vile. It really was. And you can't say something is one thing and then serve another. In this day and age, there are a lot of people, some people it's a choice, you know, maybe they're on a low-carb diet or something. But we've got one lady. Oh, my. Never get involved with her problem. She doesn't eat this, or this. And if it's that, it's got to be parboiled. And oh, there's a whole range of stuff. But we always try and accommodate it. She is very difficult to accommodate. She's definitely vegetarian. I think she's vegan. So it's very difficult. With allergies and that she's a vegan, it is a nightmare. But we always try and come up with something, either something that she's had sort of a couple of years ago that was like, oh, that was all right. And then we make a suggestion, you know, could the chef do that? Would it be easier if they did this? But if somebody's ordering something and it says it's salmon, then clearly they've not got a fish allergy, have they? Then why serve it with cheese when they do have a cheese allergy? It's ridiculous. We've had people wanting non-dairy ice cream, dairy-free ice cream. Which they did manage to accommodate, nearly came to blows about a year ago when we had our President's Sunday about the fruit salads. Don't ask. But, you know, we dealt with it. And I literally, somebody wanted something and they hadn't got what they wanted. And, well, they had got what they wanted, but they wanted more of it. There wasn't enough in the bowl, was this one. So I was determined nothing was going to ruin this day. It was President's Sunday. It was Mike's day. And I said, nothing is going to ruin this. Thing was, this person and their family had already complained and asked for more. So basically, it was an Oliver Twist moment. Please, sir, can I have some more? And they'd said no. So I literally said to Mike, give me your wallet. He gives me his wallet and I walks off and said, I'll deal with it. So they'd been turned down four times. So I went up and I said, you know, this person that's complaining, I said, can you just go out and just get more food from somewhere? They were saying they didn't have enough food. And I was literally about to put my hand in the wallet to take out about 40 quid to give them. That's pounds. That's about 40 quid. Quid is another word for pounds. So I was literally about to get two £20 notes out and say, just buy whatever you need to. But I think I'd said, please. And he said, I will sort it for you, madam. And off he went, and they did. But the actual people involved were really having a go at them. And I don't consider that's their place when they've been invited to an event. And they asked for fruit salad, and they got fruit salad, but they didn't like the fruit salad because there wasn't enough fruit salad. They wanted more. It was ridiculous. But this is what you face. You've become allergic to salmon. Oh, no, that's awful. Oh, wow. Oh, hang on, let me go up a bit, up a bit. Don't like cheese. It's amazing how much stuff they do. They put cheese on everything in the same way they put croutons in everything, like a salad. It doesn't need croutons. It's a salad. It's not soup. And I have asked for soup with no croutons, and then it's swimming in croutons. They've done that as well. So Deb can't have shellfish or shrimp. Ask a lady that made a salad at a potluck what was in it. She listed it. You got so sick. Oh no. And she put shrimp in it. If she'd made it, she should definitely not say that. But people take it as an affront, you know, that they've made something and that you're saying you don't want something that's in it. But they should appreciate it's not a choice. It's something that you have to do. The number of times I've actually sent round food that we go to a lot of events, as you know, or we did do with the Catinians. We go to a lot of events and you're looking at anywhere food wise between 25 to about £80 a meal. Per person. And I can't tell you that the amount of food I just pass over to somebody else. It's a standing joke with Stuart because he likes his buns at the beginning. So if he's had soup or something with a bun, you know, he's had his bun. A lot of the time, Ellen will give him her bun. And then I'll say, there's another bun here for you, Stuart. And then you'll get something served and it'll be on toast. But it'll be on a side plate. So I'll say to Stuart, I've got a side plate full of toast here if you want it. Then the potatoes, because I don't eat potatoes. So I'll be like, do you want any of these potatoes, Stuart? One of them that really sticks in my mind was cauliflower cheese. And again, obviously the cheese aspect of it. So this cauliflower cheese was in a bowl and people were passing it around. And it came to me and I took my bit of cauliflower cheese and I said, there's a bit more cauliflower cheese here. Stuart will have that. Oh, well, you know, you just hand the food off. You don't stand there screaming that there's not enough of what you like. But that's awful to tell you that it's not in there. And then it is. I wonder how she'd like to be sued for that. I've not actually threatened that myself. But now I come to think about it, be cheap for me to do it because I know what I'm doing. It would be my nightmare to become allergic to anything else because I originally wasn't allergic to bread. I could quite happily eat bread. I used to love pies and pasties. Do you have pasties in the States? A pasty is a little bit like a pie, but it was basically a little bit of meat, but mainly veg and potatoes. And the outside of it, which would be the pastry, was made up into a parcel. It goes back to shepherding days when that was before you had like bread that you would eat. So this was a way of eating vegetables and a little bit of meat inside a pastry packet. But the pastry was to die for. Oh, a proper ginster's pasty. A proper pasty was fabulous. But then I got allergic. And when, you know, there was a lot of things that I used to really love. I mean, I found out I was allergic age 21, I think. Heading to 22 years of age. I was still eating Farley's Rusks. I adored Farley's Rusks. Mum would still go out and people would look at her like, you do realise these are for 6-month-old. Yes, but the daughter likes them. So I would eat Farley's Rusks. They were riddled with wheat flour. I'd eat crackers. Used to love those. What else did I have? I loved cheese pies. I loved ginster's pasties. But it's the things like soup that you don't think anything of. And virtually every kind of soup in the UK is riddled with wheat flour. French sticks. Oh, Simon, your bread. That kind of bread. I would love that. You couldn't have anything like that at all. Then when you go out and it'll say it's some kind of cheese and onion, blah, 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 and it'll be in some foreign language and you'll look up what it is and you'll think, OK, so it's a tart and that means it's in wheat flour. So many things. But, you know, even with that, we did have a meal about 6-8 months ago And it looked really nice, the bit that I could eat, but the whole thing was in like a tart case and it was wheat flour. So I took all the thing out of it and I left the case and then handed that off to one of the guys. There was one guy, and this wasn't even our circle. I'd never met this guy before, but I don't eat the potatoes. So I was shoving the potatoes to one side. Now, what else was on there? I think it was beef. And he said it was two kinds of meat. And he said, Joe, it's such a shame, you know, but I can't eat this beef. He said, I wish they'd given us more potatoes. So I said, take mine. I don't eat potatoes. He said, do you eat beef? I said, yes. He said, let's swap. And this is at a posh dinner. There we are. This has turned into a picnic. But we loved it. We loved it. Pasties are lovely. Oh, I can highly recommend a pasty. Honest, they are. If you ever get an opportunity, the pastry is to die for. It's beautiful. Deb usually eats something before going to events. Yeah, I think you're right with that, you know, actually. If you're hungry, you get more cranky. So I think how I deal with that, I take stuff with me. So if there's a bun at the beginning, I will take gluten-free biscuits. We'll also take spare gluten-free biscuits and we'll take our own butter as well. We went to one event and it had all this carefully carved butter. And I took some of it and I put it on one of my biscuit things. And I said to Mike, that's not butter, it's margarine. I will not eat margarine. I saw margarine go mouldy once. Oh my, it's just chemicals, so I won't eat it. So after that, we took our own butter as well. So basically, when we turn up at an event, I've got a pantechnicon full of food with me, just in case. And we divvy up the rest. That's a good tip, actually. I take it with me, but yeah, it would probably be handy to have like a starter before you go, basically. Miners used to have Cornish pasties. The crust on one edge was so thick, not eaten and held by dirty hands. Yeah, didn't it come from the tin mines down towards Devon? One end savoury meat and veg and the other had an apple for dessert. Oh, wow. No, I've never had one like that, but that's a genius idea, isn't it? I'm sure it came from down Devon way somewhere. Laying in an evening dress with a backpack. Oh, yes. I do. My handbag is rather large, shall we say. And Mike's a little minx. It'll be, you just put these biscuits in there and put that in there and put that in there. And then people look at you because you don't have the kind of traditional delicate evening bag, you know, that you couldn't get a thimble in. Mine's like the size of a briefcase. But they're very grateful when the food comes out and it's inedible. And I'm like, would you like a biscuit? Yeah, we kind of hide it under the desk. You should have seen the stuff we took for ladies' night, because that was the event that I knew I had three people who wouldn't eat any of the desserts and were probably capable of kicking it off. So I said to them, I've got your dessert sorted. I've got your dessert sorted. So don't mither the staff. It's sorted. But that was the night we had the nut allergy and we had two dairy allergies. And I think we had three gluten allergies. That was somebody including ours. So our buns turned up hermetically sealed again. I need on my evening dresses, like a barrister has on their gown. A barrister's gown at the back of it has a pocket on it. And it was when the barristers don't ask for money. They have people for that. But when they took a case on a need basis, they would sit around and they would wait for what's called a doc brief. And a brief is the instructions for counsel. So that's basically their contract of employment. And a doc brief was where somebody was up before the judge and they weren't represented and they would choose somebody from the dock. And that barrister would stand in front of them and the money would be put into this pocket behind them from the dock. Do I need one of those? That's what I need. Only a massive thing. A massive thing. Going out. When did going out become such a nightmare? I mean, it's all, we don't make a fuss about it, but when we were in charge last year, we felt we wanted to make sure that everybody was comfortable and had what they needed. And we actually knew, we did the whole thing in Notion. So we had the list of people in Notion and we had their dietary requirements next to it. So we knew who was diabetic and needed a sugar-free dessert, who was dairy-free, gluten-free, nut allergy, you name it, we knew it. And we would sort of say to somebody, when the things went out with the menu choices in, we would actually say, you know, we have a low-sugar alternative. We even put in, you can get low-sugar or no-sugar ice cream. But we just did that automatically. But it is a lot of work. We had a system, but I can't imagine trying to do that without an automated system. So we knew from day one, our original plan was actually to get people to book themselves via a Google form. And then it would have all gone in a spreadsheet and we would have dealt with it from there. But they couldn't manage it. So we looked at each other with like, OK, then let's get it in Notion. And we would send out the menu. They would send back their choices. Some things that were so annoying that, you know, we automatically did and other people don't think of doing. When somebody sends you a menu choice, if you're both having the same starter, same main, same dessert, not a problem. But if you're having a different starter, a different main or a different dessert, don't just send it back. One of this, 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 because I don't know who's who. Sometimes you could guess because you're thinking, ah, well, that person is diabetic, so that's probably their selection. But you still had to check. Who's in charge next year? Well, the handover happened sort of April time, virtually. So our last event was going to be the end of year lunch, which was the last weekend in March. And it didn't happen. We called it off for well-being reasons. So we did the end of year party on Brooklands 196. And then at the next meeting, which was about the 15th of April, I think, the next couple took over. So it's a gentleman and his wife who have done it before. I think they last did it about 9 or 10 years ago. So he stepped in as Mike's VP last year with a chance of doing it like for the last time, because he says he considers himself, by the time he's finished, he'll be 80. So he doesn't particularly want to do it again. But obviously at the moment, everything's just on hold. So not much to do on the one hand for him, but then a lot on the other, because you've got to make the decision at what point do you say it's safe, and what can you do in the meanwhile to keep the circle going when you can't actually meet up. Trouble is when people change their mind on the night. Oh yes, Anthony, that happened. When we did a Christmas dinner for the social centre, people would decide they wanted what their friends was having and not what they'd ordered. That was what actually caused the problem with this fruit salad that wasn't enough fruit salad. Because we'd decided, they'd ordered what they wanted and that's what we'd put in. And we thought, well, they know what they've ordered. And they were changing their mind on the day and saying that they wanted something else. And you can't do that. They cannot expect that a hotel can accommodate that. What we did to stop that happening, again, we were doing place cards. And the place cards, up till that event, had the food selections on. But obviously, it takes a lot of time to put the food selections on 120 cards. We were printing them, but you still had to peel them off and make sure they were put on straight, etc. But what we decided to do from that point on was put on everybody's place card. It not only had their name, it had their food selections. For some people, they literally couldn't remember. And it sounds ludicrous, but given the number of events we would go to in an average month, we might go to about 7 or 8 formal events in a month. And Mike could say, what did we order for Warrington? I'm like, I have no idea. Well, when are we going to Warrington? Now, what we did was we put it in our calendar. So when we placed a food order, mindful of the fact we might forget what it was, we would put it in the calendar, and the calendar is shared between the two of us, so we would know what we were having. But other people were like, I can't remember. So we just took that burden off them and put it on the cards. But it does add to it. What we did with the cards, we would, instead of having them printed, because the other issue you've got is people are changing their mind up to like a day and a half before. We left doing the rest of the card. I'm sure we showed you one of the cards. But the card was a place card, folded in half, but it had this flash in the corner that said Brooklands 196. And then it had the name quite big and the food selection underneath. But the name and the food selection weren't printed on the card. They were printed on a label and the label was attached to the card. So we'd be doing them in batches. But yeah, it took a while. And then you'd get people who did want to make changes, which you had to accommodate. The latest somebody wanted to come to an event was 4:25 on the day of the event, 7:30 start. And the caterer was actually on site and we're like, well, what do we do? And the thing was, politics were involved. The person who wanted to attend had been invited and said they weren't going. But they were very big friends with other people from the circle who had then rung them. Now, bearing in mind, you're talking about people in the mid 80s who'd said no, but then the friends are trying to push them and then they say yes. And it was the day of the event. The food had been bought. So I said to Mike, well, what food do they want? And as it happened, we'd picked lamb and they wanted a lamb. So I said, we can't say no, that they can't come. And he said, well, they can come, but they might not have any food. And I said, Mike, when you're hosting, that's your problem, not theirs. I said, but he's put lamb. So Mike said, and, you know, there might not be enough lamb. And I said, well, I'm having lamb, aren't I? I said, so if there isn't enough food, he can have mine. And Mike went mad. And I said, Mike, we're in charge. That's what you do. It's your responsibility when you're in charge to make sure that your guests are comfortable and have what they want. And if that means no lamb, then I'll go out and get an ice cream or something. It didn't actually come to it. We got there and we spoke to the caterer. And she said, I can deal with it. Leave it with me. Mike was going spare. He said, you know, how difficult is it to make your mind up 2 or 3 days before? Why do you have to leave it till 4:25 for a 7:30 start? But that's what happens. Welcome to being president. Whoever said it's a figurehead role was deluded. Deluded. There is a lot more to it than that. If you're doing it right, and when I say doing it right, just making people relaxed, that they don't have to worry that, you know, they're going to turn up and they've got nut allergy and they've got nuts in the food. That's not going to happen. You know, if I have to give you mine, that's not going to happen. And then people can relax into it. At the beginning of the year, because we're so much younger than everybody else, you know, they are in their 80s, got a couple in their early 90s. There's only about 4 or 5 who are under 60. They were very much concerned that, like, these are young whippersnappers and they don't know what they're doing. And we were getting questions like, you know, have you done this? And you've not forgotten to do that. And like, it's all under control. It's all under control. The number of times we said, no, it's fine. It's all under control. Eventually, after about 4 or 5 events, they just stopped asking and they enjoyed the year. Which is how it should be. They should not be concerned about things that are our concern. The year before, we'd had what's called a clergy dinner. What do you need at a clergy dinner? Well, primarily clergy. So when we took over, this was the 14th of October. Mike took over on the 14th of April. And on the 14th of May, we sent the invitations out to the clergy. We got 14 clergy turned up. The year before, 2. And one of the guys was obsessed making sure we got enough clergy. And he started going on about August. If you don't invite them, we said, they're invited. We've already got 14 saying they're coming. And he was like, oh, wow. And that, then again, that was one less thing for him to worry about. Sometimes dealing with elderly people and dinners or social senses is like dealing with children. Anthony, spoken like a man who has been there. Tell me about it. They are like children. But, you know, I think I had an inkling of what to expect because my grandmother used to organise a group of neighbours. We have something here called Ring and Ride. And it's basically for people over a certain age where they can ring up and this huge minicab thing, like a mini bus, will come round and pick people up and then they will go off to where they're going. And she used to do the ringing around. And there was 2 things about that stuck with me and my mother. And every time we looked at each other over it, we'd just laugh. The first thing was either my grandmother would do the ringing to book it or this other lady would. But my gran wanted to do it. Oh, Anthony, even down to where they sit. That's just about what I'm going to say. My grandmother would insist that she rang the ringer ride because then she would get the front seat next to the driver. She did not like it. If anybody else got this sit. She needed to sit next to the driver. The driver was probably thrilled. That was the first thing. And the second thing was, when they were going to their Christmas things, they would go to their Christmas party that was like the neighbour's one. And then they'd go to the church one. And then there'd be the social centre one. And then there's a church group called the SVP, St Vincent de Paul. And they would put a Christmas thing on for the older folks. And at every one, there were chicken drumsticks. Well, if my grandmother didn't get her chicken drumsticks, we all heard about it. Until Easter, she'd be going on. And I didn't get a chicken drumstick. And the reason that she wouldn't get a chicken drumstick was she had very bad legs. She had arthritis from being 35. So she would sit down and somebody else would go and get her food. And she would say, you know, and I want a chicken drumstick. And they'd forget the chicken drumstick. Oh, and we heard about it. Yes, Anthony, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. A lot of them can start a scrap in an empty room, but my grandmother would be in front of the queue for that. So I did have a little bit of an inkling. But let's just say at the end of your presidential year, you have a whole different level of understanding than you did at the beginning. That's why it takes you 10 years to do it for the next time. Just saying. Thing is, 10 years from now, Michael'll still be young enough to do it. I don't want to think how old I'll be in 10 years. I'll just be glad to be here. Let's say that. Oh, well, I enjoyed my dinner and now I've got this concept of these muffins, which I'm going to run by Mike. Cheese and paprika muffins. I still think that's really weird, but I'm prepared to give it a go. Oh dear, some of us are seniors. Deb, you'll never be senior. You're not senior in the mind. The question is, you need to think about it in terms of, would I kick it off if I didn't get a chicken drumstick? And if the answer's no, then you're young. There you go. I don't care whether I get a chicken drumstick. You think they'll ask us again before 10 years. Can we just say, Kim, when you said who's doing it this year, gentleman's doing it this year, doesn't have a VP. So what that means is when it comes to April next year, who's going to be president? We don't know. I think it'll be him. I think he'll carry on because basically he's not going to have much of a year this year. But his wife said he wasn't. So we'll see what happens with that. Wifey said, 1 year. But seeing as though they've not actually done anything this year yet because of the situation, maybe she'll relent. We don't know. We don't know. But then if he's not got a VP and he carries on, then he's not going to have a VP next year either. We will see how that goes. I would need quite a bit of Valium to contemplate it again. But who knows? I might warm to the idea. We'll see. Hey, we're still doing Brooklands. We're keeping the spirits up. That's what we're doing. Well, I'm going to head off and look at these cheese and paprika muffins while I contemplate. Because you know what I didn't get today? Mike sugared off with the dog and did not give me my afternoon muffin. There will be words about this. I will feed it back tomorrow. But for the moment, it's good night from me and it's good night from Mike, who's in his meeting, and we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.